for the record, read what this meeting is about?
This is from the Department of Labor Relations, reports related to deliberations, negotiations, or renegotiations of collective bargaining agreements.
Thank you. And just so everyone's aware, this is not a public hearing. We won't be taking testimony from the public. But perhaps, Mr. Grady, maybe you could come to the table. I have some questions, and I'm sure some other supervisors have questions of you based on what's been happening. I just had a couple questions. Would it be fair to say that it's true that the county can legally communicate and discuss any issues at this point with the union, whether it's certified or decertified? So that's kind of yes or no.
Well, I have to caution, outside of the collective bargaining process, the answer is clearly yes. Okay.
So as long as it wasn't collective bargaining?
As long as the purpose is not to reach, you know, a collective bargaining agreement under Chapter 111, you can meet with anybody in the world.
Okay. And I think you had a quote in the paper basically saying that. So correct me if I'm wrong, then. You said there's nothing to prohibit the county from having discussions with AFSCME. Correct?
Yeah, the context of that comment.
Well, that's okay. I got it.
Okay.
I got it. And our labor relations director has been quoted as saying that he did not believe that he was negotiating, to use that word, which has been kind of a hot button word. So because he had no authority to do that. So if he has no authority to do that, then it's not a negotiation. Is that correct?
If he was not given that authority, then obviously he wasn't doing that.
Right. And he says he wasn't given that authority. So
let him speak for himself. But.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure other people have other questions, and I don't want to monopolize this. But there seems to be some confusion about communicating with employees in Milwaukee County. I just wanted to make it clear that it's the labor relations director. It's always the one who communicates with employees. And in addition, it seems like there was some misinformation put out that the title of this agenda item from the last meeting guarantees that negotiations are taking place. This isn't true. That's just, as I understand, and I haven't been on there that long, that's more of a placeholder thing on the agenda. And in the year that I've been here, we've had reports from Mr. Bao over the years just telling us what's going on, and then we did that under that particular agenda item. And I believe that there was some sort of media report that District Council 48 came to a closed session of our meeting last month and negotiated a contract with supervisors. If that didn't happen, then when I was in the room, I doubt if it happened when anybody else was in the room. So. And it's my understanding that we do not have the power to negotiate a contract right now with DC 48. And then you sent us a memo to the county executive on March 20th. We met on March 14th, right? Is that the right time? I think we met March 14th.
Sounds about right.
Okay. Your office issued a written opinion to the county executive on March 20th. In it, you said, please give this to supervisors, right, at the end?
Effectively. I said elected officials.
Yeah. Okay.
Including Mr. Mansky.
Right. That was not done until March 27th. So the county executive was in possession of this for a week and didn't give it to us. So in that memo, your office's official legal opinion, you stated that it is not illegal to talk with the union, certified or not, at any time about issues they would like to raise. Is that a correct reason?
Yes. The county board had considered a meet and confer process in the past, and that's the kind of notion that I was talking about, is that you can meet and confer with employee groups outside of collective bargaining.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Supervisor Jerzyk?
Well, for the record, I went home sick the day we had the meeting, so I was not in the closed door meeting, and I was at work that day just for my constituents to know, but actually got sick here at work and went home. I understand that there was a written legal opinion which followed that meeting. Is that correct?
That's what I believe we're just discussing.
And I think Supervisor Cullen kind of nailed down those dates. But what I'm concerned about is that written legal opinion was then given to the county executive, who unilaterally, without having given that to other elected officials, even though the memo apparently copied us in, chose to waive attorney-client privilege for the entire county. And I think there is some problem with that. If legal counsel wants to make it clear that they're only representing the county executive, they should state that. And then the county executive may choose to do what he pleases with regard to attorney-client privilege. But when he does that, indicates in a memo that we have been copied in, and then unilaterally chooses to waive attorney-client privilege for, I believe, the implication that what was indicated in the legal memo was being violated by this board, there is a problem with that. And it calls into question the ability of legal counsel to represent the legislative branch of this board. I am very irritated by that. Now, for the record, Act 10 has put this entire county into a tailspin. The employees in this county had previously been represented. The largest number of individuals in this county are now without representation. I can be sympathetic to that. We are responding to numerous lawsuits regarding Act 10 and all kinds of changes in benefits that this county has had to make because we are not receiving appropriate funding for programs. We're going to get a Municast report in finance on Thursday, which I've already reviewed. And even though we make tremendous progress at trying to address the structural deficit, we are constantly dealing with deficits and having to ask our employees to make tremendous sacrifices. And yet we have to continually fight these political battles in addition to trying to be fair to our employees. And I can't express enough my outrage. And I truly hope that those that express our First Amendment rights are getting some of this down. Thank you. I have nothing else to say.
Any other supervisors? Supervisor Lipscomb?
I guess what was uncomfortable about the whole thing was the suggestion that there was something improper about us being in closed session, and I wanted to get confirmation that it was proper for us to be in closed session, and in fact it was your advice that we meet in closed session.
Chairman Supervisor, that's correct. It is a standard agenda item listed as it is listed and has been for a long time on collective bargaining. And the purpose of that is for the committee to go into closed session to discuss collective bargaining issues, whether it's one union or six unions, you know, whoever we happen to be dealing with at the time. And that is an appropriate closed session matter. And I do want to echo the chairman's comments that when we go into closed session, we are not going into closed session to bargain with the unions. Bargaining does not occur in the closed session. What occurs is the receiving of direction from the committee to the Labor Relations Department
on the
strategy for
the direction not to bargain.
Right, but the point is the direction he's given, the Labor Relations Department has given direction on collective bargaining issues, whatever that direction is. It's not a closed session to bargain with the unions. The bargaining takes place outside of the committee process separately, physically and time chronologically separate from the meeting.
Yeah, I think there's some confusion about that, too, because in some other counties, supervisors may be part of the actual bargaining team, and that's not the case in Milwaukee County. I think the other element that and part of why I think there was a desire to meet an open session was the position we were put in by the memo, by the legal opinion being released, as well as by comments being made about what happened in a closed session, because that puts those who were in the closed session in a bizarre position of not being able to defend themselves when in fact they're not supposed to discuss the closed session. So there was an accusation that there was some peculiar gag order placed on members, but really it was only the normal closed session decorum that is required of members, correct?
Mr. Chairman, essentially that's correct. Our advice has always been the same with respect to closed session, that the matters that are discussed, no matter what the reason is for closed session, whether it's this reason, whether it's litigation, whether it's some other reason, if you're in closed session, it's the items to be discussed in closed session are not public, and they're to be shared only with the shorthand would be those with the need to know. Right. And so, you know, the closed session of the Judiciary Committee that discusses litigation matters, for example, that can be shared with other supervisors because it's going to be, you know, they can be in attendance at the meeting. It can be shared with other supervisors. It can be shared with staff that has a reason to know, not, you know, and I guess I've seen our office as sort of the arbiters of who has a reason to know. But that's been consistently our advice is how closed session works. I mean,
right, so it's not a county board imposed. That's your legal advice, and that's been consistent.
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
And just to follow up on that, so if the county executive, if we were going to closed session, the county executive would call me, see me in the hall, or his chief of staff, and say, what did you do in closed session? I can tell them, because they're another elected official that has a reason to know.
There might be some weird situation where you couldn't, but I would say normally yes.
So for someone to say that they could not speak to the county executive on this, I didn't tell them that. Did you ever tell anyone that they could not speak to the county executive on what happened in the closed door meeting?
No.
Okay. Supervisor Roman West.
During closed session, did you hear anyone else in the room say that we were not allowed to speak to the county executive regarding this issue?
Well, what I'd rather not discuss what happened in closed session than an open session.
Okay. All right. Mr. Chair, I would like to request that Corporation Counsel prepare for specifically this body, but any members of the county board, a training regarding closed session. I was deeply disturbed at the fact that we had someone on this committee that believed that there was a gag order placed on them regarding what happened in closed session, when indeed it is closed session law that we are not allowed to discuss with others what happens in closed session. But in addition to that, you and I had a discussion regarding who we are allowed to share information with that happens in closed session. And so for my own sake, although I believe we've been to war on closed session. We've actually censured one of our members for sharing information, or one of our former members for sharing information that happened in closed session, and that happened in my committee. And so I feel like I'm one of the county supervisors that perhaps has a great deal of information regarding closed session. However, as I stated, Supervisor Cullen and I had a conversation in which we were unclear as to whether or not we were able to share information, who we were able to share information with. And so I believe that it would be pertinent, again, for Corporation Counsel to prepare for those members that are interested a training regarding closed session. I'm not sure how much information new members receive on closed session. And again, to feel that or to know that one of our colleagues walked out feeling as if a gag order had been placed when in fact it was just closed session law is troubling. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I...
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I just was in response to say we're perfectly happy to do that. I do want to say that without getting into details, I believe that there were statements made, by myself included, that could have been confusing to members, and I think adding some clarity would be good.
Okay. So that someone could have interpreted what you said as not being able to speak outside the room.
Perhaps.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since our last meeting, without disclosing in this current conversation what happened in closed session in the last meeting, I did meet with Head Corporation Counsel Kimberly Walker to relay what happened in the last closed session and ask for legal clarification. And I was told in that meeting that it sounded as if what I was describing was, please let me finish.
We were still in open session. Are you going to talk about what you were told in closed session?
No, I'm not.
Okay, that's fine. I think that's what he was objecting to. That's
just a move.
Okay.
I'm talking about a conversation that I had with corporate counsel.
It was just confusing.
When I relayed whatever it is that happened in our last closed session, I was advised that it sounded as if something above and beyond the requirements of closed session laws was placed or directed on me by other members of the board, not just from corporate counsel. Ms. Walker, would you verify that you did tell me that?
Can I just ask your question? Yeah. Can I, before, were you in the closed session meeting?
Mr. Chairman, I was not in the closed session meeting.
So I don't know that you're really, I don't know that she's really qualified to answer what happened to you in closed session, because she wasn't even here. I mean, it may be, so maybe what you relayed to her, you could have relayed to her that I said to you, don't say anything.
Exactly.
And then she said, well, Colin told you that, of course. So, you know, we don't need anything from Ms. Walker right now because she has no information on what happened in closed session.
Mr. Chairman, you're absolutely right that she can't verify what happened in the last closed session, but she can verify exactly what I asked her to, which is the advice that she gave to me.
Based on your
statement. Based on what I experienced and what I asked her about. And considering that Ms. Walker and Mr. Grady do work in the same office, do work hand in hand, that he takes direction from her, and that he was present in the last closed session, I think that her testimony as to what direction she gave me or what legal impression she gave me about what I had experienced is relevant.
That's assuming you had that experience, and it's unclear that you did. So, Supervisor Stanford, did you have something to add?
Yes, is that, I have a new topic. Corporation Counsel, do you represent the county, the county executive, the legislative branch, or how do you represent, who do you represent?
Mr. Chairman, the Office of Corporation Counsel, the Office of Corporation Counsel represents the county.
The county.
And encompassed in the county are elected officials, department heads, but we are not personal attorneys to the county executive, to the board, to the sheriff. We are the office that represents the Big C County.
Okay. So an attorney, in understanding the attorney-client privilege, who is the client? And who can release or waive rights on an attorney-client privilege? How do you explain a client-attorney relationship in the county?
Mr. Chairman, to the extent that a legal opinion is requested by an elected official, that elected official, we don't have the ability to waive attorney-client privilege, but a client, a small C client, has the ability to do that. So going back to the statement that was made earlier today, in the instance of the county board, a member of the county board, one member does not have the ability as a small C client to waive the attorney-client privilege. But in the case of the sheriff or the county executive, that's a one-member small C client. To the extent that we provide legal advice to one of them, it's been our opinion that they have the ability as one body of an elected office to waive that client, that attorney-client privilege.
Okay.
So okay, well, is that your advice?
So you can waive attorney-client privilege per body, correct? But
right.
is the same, do we follow the same legal advice? Can the same legal advice be waived by different bodies?
Mr. Chairman, I think my advice is the same. What I'm saying is because, for instance, the county board is more than one member.
Yeah, I got that.
One member of the county board does not have the ability to waive the attorney-client privilege. But the sheriff or the county executive, that is one body, one person body. They have the ability to waive the attorney-client privilege.
Okay. For example, the legal opinion that you gave on what we're talking about, it was for both bodies, right? You asked you made it clear that for them to share the legal opinion with us.
Mr. Chairman, in our opinion, that request was a request that was made by the county executive to Corporation Counsel. And at the end of that letter, we recommended that they share, because of the legal advice that we were giving, that they share that advice with this body. But it was not our opinion that it was a legal opinion that was being written for the county exec's office as well as the county board. The county exec's office was the body that requested the legal opinion.
Okay.
Much like if you asked for an opinion on behalf of the county board, we would not view the opinion that we're providing to the county board as one that would be automatically one that's for the county executive or the sheriff, even though we may say at the end of it, given what we're saying, it may be helpful for you to provide that advice. And so in that instance, this body would have the ability to waive the attorney-client privilege.
I got it. Okay. Thank you.
Just, I'd like to sort of wrap this up on this. So I think we'd like to make sure that the record is clear that we have no interest in negotiating a contract with AFSCME at this time. And Mr. Bau has stated that he has no direction from us. Given that, do we need to take any action here today, or is it clear that Mr. Bau is to take no action? Here, Mr. Grady?
I would suggest we spend literally 3 minutes in closed session to answer that.
You know, we have some members who do not want to go into closed session, and I respect that. This is, you know, we're trying to make an open process. We're not trying to hide anything from I understand you're giving us legal advice, but there are people who are politicizing this whole event for their own gain. And because of that, then they say, oh, they went into closed session and did something secret. So do we have the ability to stay in open session and do that?
Yeah, you can always stay in open session and make things public, even, you know, attorney-client privilege communications on litigation, for example. I mean, you can always stay there. You just lose that privilege. So I guess the question is, as long as the committee agrees with your statement, you know, we haven't taken a vote. We haven't had a show of hands or whatever. You know, typically the direction received for negotiation strategy in closed session is sort of a consensus kind of process, if you will. And I'm just being very technically legal that you're the only person speaking. And so we don't have a committee direction. If you want to take a vote, if you want to take some, have every member say they agree, whatever, I don't care. But that
may not be necessary. So, and I'm just trying to get to the best place possible where we think the committee is. And so if I were to say to you right now as a chair, we believe that we do not want Mr. Bau to be in negotiations. He shouldn't be in negotiations. And nobody objects, then that essentially is Mr. Bau's direction.
I'm assuming as long as no one, you know, you're asking objections, nobody's objecting, then that's the case.
Okay. Does anybody object that we do that? I mean, I'm just asking, do you object that we do that?
That be the direction.
The direction of this committee be that Mr. Bau not be in negotiations with AFSCME. Okay.
I object to doing anything by consensus. If we're going to do something,
you want to take a vote, then.
And could I just say, I'm not accepting legal counsel's advice. They've already have a conflict of interest. The opinions that are being given to us, that this is small C and that's big C upstairs. As a body, we're a big C too, and that conflict of interest was never waived. So I appreciate Supervisor Stamper's questions. I think they were very good questions from a layperson's viewpoint, but it's more complicated than that. And once you've got this conflict of interest. At least a conflict of interest between the second floor and the third floor. Your office has been used for political purposes, and it has damaged this legislative body. So I am not accepting any opinion you're giving to us right now. I think you put yourself in a very bad position, and if we're going to do something with regard to directing Mr. Bau, it's going to be through a formal resolution and a vote, because we have bodies out there outside of this political system that we're in who are trying to very much damage this board, the county board chairwoman, her reputation. Just yesterday, someone calling her a liar based on nothing they know about going on here. So I'm not going to accept legal counsel's advice because they have a conflict of interest. And if we're going to do something, for goodness sakes, do it with a formal resolution and get a resolution vote that makes this a vote that the public can look at as the official vote of this body from the legislative branch. And then if county executive wants to veto something, that's his authority to do it. But I'm not playing the game anymore. I'm just not playing that game.
So, Mr. Grady, do we have to go to, if we take a formal vote, then does that have to go to the full board? If we take a formal vote,
if you take a formal action of any kind, it goes to the full board, yes.
And do they, so that that would delay any thought of this potentially. There wouldn't be any official as opposed to a committee taking action and essentially being the bargaining unit. We'd be ceding that authority to the board at this point.
Well, that was why my suggestion was for the closed session, because that's how typically the committee has given its direction is in closed session, and because that's what the ordinance does. It gives this committee the authority to direct collective bargaining. But I know of no exception to your rules for any vote that's taken in open session to not be advanced to the full board.
Okay. Well,
if the committee gives direction, Mr. Chairman, it doesn't require that it be done in closed session, so if the committee gives direction by ordinance, then...
Well, that's what I said. Right. You were giving us direction. And through a consensus, lack of objection, for lack of a better word. But if you take a vote, that's a different question.
Okay. Well, then I think Mr. Bao has his consensus with the objection of Supervisor Jurczyk noted, not on the merits, but on policy. So the direction is to not take any negotiations. The meeting is adjourned.
I attempted to object